Hello, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Eric Siska.
Steven Seda.
And we hate movies. Hello, everyone. Welcome to We Hate Movies. Thank you for tuning in, as always. If you're new to the program, you're catching us in the second week of our very popular Listener Request Month. That is when we have people call in advance, request an episode that they think might be worthy of our riffing, and then we check it out. And so this is one of those things. And this week, it's Johnny Mnemonic from 1995, directed by Robert Longo. It was requested by Alec from Toronto, who had this to say.
Hey, We Hate Movies. This is Alec calling you from your favorite fake New York, Toronto, Ontario. And I'm calling to request a movie shot here in Toronto. The corporate espionage cyber thriller Johnny Mnemonic, starring a pre-Matrix Keanu Reeves, performing a great performance in the film. There's cyber hacking dolphins, Dolph Lundgren, Beat Takeshi, Ice-T, Henry Rollins. Just a whole lot of fun. So, hope to see it on the show.
And he's not wrong. All that stuff is in this movie.
But you know what, Alec? Most movies are filmed in Canada. Let's not throw darts at poor old Johnny Mnemonic. It's just, everything films in Canada.
It's a fake-looking Brooklyn Bridge that they got in this movie, too.
Well, isn't it? Aren't they in Newark, and then the Brooklyn Bridge is there for some reason? Or do they do some driving to get there?
That was supposed to be the Brooklyn Bridge?
I think Ice-T's base of operations is supposed to be the Brooklyn Bridge.
Because most of this movie is set in and around the free city of Newark.
Yeah, just imagine, after all those future wars, the dump town of Newark, New Jersey is what survives it all.
Or, it's the free city of Newark.
Free city of Newark is what it's called, yes.
So now, does that mean the rest of America is enslaved, or... have they been kicked out of the union they've done so badly?
Oh, Newark did that bad that they got booted from the United States of America in general?
Maybe. Well, no,
entirely possible.
All of Chris Christie's spite campaigns ended in Newark being kicked out of the union, just to show him what's what.
Oh, I love that it's just the city of Newark, by the way. All of New Jersey, no.
Totally fine.
It's still a state. It's just for some reason Newark, New Jersey.
They got the international airport. So take that, New Jersey.
So Johnny Mnemonic, one of the most important things to recall about this film before we talk about it at all is that when this was released on home video, it came in a neon orange VHS cassette.
Not unlike your Are You Afraid of the Dark tapes?
Or the Rugrats movie. So it's stuff for children and Johnny Mnemonic.
It's a real special kind of movie.
But it was so cool, right? Because it was bright colored, and then you could put it in your brain.
No, you put it in your VCR. You're thinking of the Johnny Mnemonic puts things in his brain.
Okay.
You're confusing reality and fantasy.
I think I watched this movie wrong, man.
If you watched it at all, you've watched it wrong.
Oh, okay.
I'll tell you that much.
So this is what you would call a cyberpunk thriller.
Man.
We love saying that. Also like a big literary thing.
Well,
this is based on a story.
It's written by the grandfather or the father of cyberpunk, which is William Gibson.
Right.
He did a lot of those stories that I'd never really read and never kind of was interested in reading.
Yeah,
I didn't really listen to the Chemical Brothers and I kind of didn't get it.
Apparently, he's very well respected. I haven't read any of his stuff, but
nope.
I do find it suspicious that I just, when in preparation for this, I read up on him a little bit, and he mentioned writing one of his first novels, and after seeing Blade Runner, and thinking people would think that he copped off of Blade Runner, and I was like, well, now I think that, because you mentioned it.
Also, I mean, this whole cityscape...
Yeah,
is Blade Runner. Like, part of this movie is set in China, and, that's all...
They got that right. They're on the rise.
Right. Well, I mean, the Blade Runner future is very, Asian influence.
And
that whole city's a Chinatown.
He's right. Decker. Let's call a spade here. He's Decker. You know what I mean?
Johnny...
who's not called Johnny Mnemonic. He's a mnemonic courier.
Mm-hmm. Right. Man, can we talk about the Skrull in this movie?
We're back to a Skrull starting off. God, how I've missed it.
Holy shit.
Peyton, we don't get the Star Wars burst to let you know that the movie started in here. I needed something maybe before a Skrull. You can't just opening title card, then Skrull. You know what I mean?
Like letters just come up with no audio around it.
Mm-hmm. And it is silent. It's like, and it's got a bad like Windows background. And I mean, this Skrull goes on.
It's pretty accurate for today's standards. It's got the corporations have run amok.
Yeah.
they use the Yakuza as muscle.
Which happens all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, try not paying your bills for a while. Am I right?
Go to Seattle. Go to Seattle and see what Microsoft will do.
Yeah.
The Yakuza are everywhere.
Bill Gates owns the Seattle Yakuza.
I mean, they're stationed in Redmond. Mm-hmm. That red stands for blood.
Yakuza blood. There's a Nas virus.
Yep. NAS.
NAS, not the rapper.
No, it's a disease that's come up because our bodies are being soaked in too much electromagnetic waves because of all the like mm-hmm. gadgets and doodads that we use every day.
Your fucking iPhones, your tablets, your Kindles.
Everything. It's poisoning you with the Nas virus.
Which, I mean, gives you what they call the black shakes, which are just the shakes.
I don't know how they're different than any other colored shakes.
And seemingly all it does is mildly inconvenience you every so often.
Every now and again. Can I make a terrible joke?
Please.
If you are stricken with the Nas virus, you become illmatic.
There you go.
All right, I'll be in the parking lot for the rest of the episode.
That was one of his albums, or
Nas's Illmatic. It's a very famous hip hop record.
Oh, cool.
All right, well, we'll move on since you're bored.
And I mean, this thing's just going on. It's telling me like what the current gross national product is. It's
got, I was gonna say the exact same joke.
The last year's election vote results are in there.
Like, you really need to trim this down. Mm-hmm. 140 characters or bust. Unless you're gonna have James Earl Jones read it to me.
Exactly.
And then, there's no narrator.
Right. But then after that Skrull is done, we open on the internet 2021. Holy shit. The internet as in a place. It's like a superimposed, this is the internet, and it's a bunch of trapezoids and a
couple of rhombuses are in there.
There's some cool colors going on.
It's
and
like
some cars are flying by for some reason. I don't know. Maybe it's a chat room.
It's like that episode of Muppet Babies where they go inside Scooter's computer and it's basically like a shittier Tron.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like that's what this is more or less.
This is like a shitty Tron. Like if the Tron world existed for so long and they started putting up luxury condos everywhere, don't get me started. And then it's kind of fallen into a little bit of disrepair, and it's just like, oh, God, this fucking place. That's the internet of 2021.
It kind of, what's sillier, this or the world of Superhuman Samurai Squad, in which they go inside computers and there's monsters destroying it like it was Tokyo?
Yeah.
It's like a city. Wait, it's like an internet city.
That's a real thing?
It was a TV show. It was like Power Rangers. Like they had it originally like as a Japanese show and then they like brought it over here. And when they weren't in big monster suits fighting things, they just had like American actors.
Matthew Lawrence.
Oh yeah.
I watched too much of that show.
I dabbled in Samurai Squad. Not a lot.
Man, So we're just starting the episode, and apparently I've missed a lot of culture in my
years. Much culture. So Johnny's with a prostitute, I guess.
Yeah,
because he's hard living, pretty
the
cool.
Best money can buy.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Is that said?
Well, later on in the film, he starts yelling about how he wants his $10,000 prostitutes. So I'm figuring he paid about 10 grand for this lady's company.
Oh, I see. There's
AKA, he's a fool. He's a fool that does not have. He's hey, Johnny Mnemonic. More like Johnny burning a hole in your pocket with how you're managing your funds.
You're Keanu Reeves. Go get laid. Like, seriously.
You're Keanu Reeves. You're in good shape. You're young. You got your very aerodynamic haircut.
You know what it is? I think it's that haircut because it's the kind of haircut where, like, you want to pretend that sideburns don't exist.
Yeah. Right, because it's the future.
So that shit's trimmed up like way above his ears.
Yeah.
Bad look on a guy.
Yeah.
Don Mattingly, I said, get rid of those sideburns.
Look, that's Mr. the Burns. One thing keeping him from getting laid. Like, he would clean up like Keanu Reeves in 1994 would. But not for those sideburns.
He's got that Johnny Utah haircut.
Everyone's like, oh, man, he's probably into bad music and reads William Gibson. Ew.
So, to make things really uncomfortable, like I would be if I'm laying naked in a bed, is you get a video phone call from Udo Kier.
That's what she's like, I gotta go.
Oh, you're talking to Udo Kier, huh? I'll just leave.
Your skin crawls right out the door.
He is really good at making me feel uncomfortable every second I'm looking at him.
I mean, he's a vampire, right? Like, there's no reports aren't in, but he is a vampire.
If you watch Udo Kier in, like, the Argento Dracula, and then you watch Udo Kier in Argento's Suspiria, which was made, like, in the 70s. Like, Dracula came out last year, Suspiria was in the 70s. He looks like the exact same person.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't age. He is a real vampire.
And weirdly enough, in Herzog's Nosferatu, he does not play the Dracula role. He plays the Harker.
I was like, oh wait,
yeah,
Udo Kier. But then we got there's two vampires in
this
story.
Oh my god,
what a twist, Herzog!
You're really doing it different.
Oh man, so
yeah, he's just like, hey Johnny,
he's got a job for him. Like, he's like, so the whole thing is, if you're a mnemonic courier, it's you have a chip in your head where you can upload data.
Yeah,
because data is like, you know, it's too risky to send it across the internet or whatever. So you put it in a courier's head. This person goes to the person who needs the information, and then that person downloads it, and you get paid.
Whatever happened to shoving things up your ass like the old American way? You
know, I know what I mean? No, honestly. Everybody relies so much on technology. Your asshole is right there, just ready for the pushing, man.
Hi.
Storage space.
Hi, I'm Johnny. Shoves things up my ass. Understand you have a package.
This is going to be a completely different movie.
Oh, no.
A dirty job, but someone's got to do it.
No, but seriously, think about it. Because the other thing is, like,
you put a memory stick up your ass, same exact difference.
But this is why shoving a memory stick up your ass is a better idea. Because the whole like, problem with this movie, the conflict, is that, like, Johnny can only hold so many gigs in his head, right? It's something like 120 gigabytes if he compresses this file.
By the way,
is
not a lot.
No, it was, like, unheard of in 1995.
It would stop your heart to hear that number.
So the whole thing is, if you put too much in there, like, the data will go in, but, like, your brain starts bleeding or something. Like,
you get seepage, which is the grossest word.
Seepage is a bad word.
He also deletes his childhood memories.
Well, you got to make space.
Here's the thing. Why is... Okay, just because it's, like, memory or storage or whatever, but you don't need to incorporate it into your brain. Put it in your lower back or something. You
shove
know?
It up your ass, Eric.
It's a hard drive. You don't need it to be integrated into your body chemistry.
To what I was saying about why you should shove it up your ass, though, is because you could then get, like, a 500 gig thumb drive, put whatever secret documents you want on there, and just ram that puppy right up your ass. You don't have to worry about brain seepage.
But, like,
ass seepage happens all the time.
That's an occupational hazard.
Oh, no, skid marks.
But the Joker. Oh,
why do I wear white jockeys? Sorry, everybody. This is the grossest episode in history.
But now the Joker in The Dark Knight was able to sew a smartphone into someone.
Right.
Yeah.
Just do that to this guy.
Well, it doesn't make sense. And you're right, though, because it doesn't make sense. Because
it doesn't have to be only ass, is what's my point.
Oh, I see.
And that's the most room. But he's never required, and he can't actually access the information through his mind.
Right.
So it's useless up there.
Yeah.
Anywhere else. Put it on your wristwatch. Like, Christ.
It's just sitting up there. You're right. It's not like he can press a button on the thing and then it just, like, scrolls past his eyeballs or something like that. There's a lot of VR helmets in this
man.
Movie.
Get ready for him.
That's the only way he can, like, see some of the stuff, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he doesn't have access to the documents, but, like, he's putting on VR helmets for all sorts of stuff. So Udo Kier is like, all right, hey, here's the deal, man. You know, I guess, like, Johnny's been trying for a while to have an operation where this gets pulled out of your head so he can get his memories back and live a normal life. And Udo Kier's like, all right, well, this job is going to pay you like $300,000,
yeah.
You know, you just got to go to this, like, this, you know, Yakuza gang, and, you know, they're going to put something in your head and just do it. It's a job. This yeah. is a job. Like, so here's
job's a job.
So he goes, it's like a hotel situation. These guys are like a new Yakuza, like they're new to the game.
They're not Yakuza. They're just scientists.
Oh, I thought that they were a gang.
No,
the Yakuza shows up.
Yakuza breaks it up.
They got a lot of guns for just a gang of scientists.
But they're all like nervous Nellies with these guns. And actually, Johnny buys a memory doubler, apparently, and he uses it in the elevator, which is stupid and doesn't even add anything to the movie. So he goes there, and he knows that seepage is a thing, and like, oh my god, if I overload my brain, holy shit.
Oh,
and
no, seepage! Sorry.
And he's like, they keep asking, they're begging him not to take this stuff. They're like, do you know how much memory you have in your brain? He's like, I've got enough. And they're like, yeah, but this is actually a lot. He's like, it's fine, I've got enough.
Yeah, see, that's the thing, Johnny. You need to come at them with a hard number. You're dealing with scientists.
Exactly.
And they're like, oh, you're not going to say, huh? Well, that means you clearly don't have enough space to do this.
Yes.
And, you know, it's a thing where I guess, like, if they upload it, like, that's the only copy of this thing. So if it's locked in his head and then he dies, like, something might happen. I don't know. There's a lot of gobbledygook going on here.
I mean, I tuned out during that scroll. Every other word is kind of garbage. And they're like, well, you remember from the scroll, right, everybody? And I'm like, no,
because your scroll was a technical manual for a microwave. Like, no way I'm going to read all of that.
That'd be amazing. How cyberpunk is that? Because that's more of the punk part, right? Like, I don't give a fuck, whatever. Just put a fucking microwave up there.
We're just going to make them read all of these specs. So many tech specs.
So he sits down and we start watching animes because this movie loves anime.
See, it's another thing it predicted right about the future is that
people will love anime.
Yeah, you can't go anywhere on the internet without getting a fucking startling image of an anime, like as an icon or on Twitter or something.
It startles you every time.
Oh, God. It's
Are you 78 years old?
I cannot log onto the Twitter without an anime coming in my face.
Who's this Naz? What's this? Wait, Samurai Squad? And you're not talking about the Kurosawa picture.
So he puts this stuff in his head. And
he puts on his VR helmet. He's like, let's jack in.
Oh, yeah. What does he say, though?
Let's jack off.
What is it? Like, turn it up or something like that.
Yeah.
Some dumb line.
Turn the anime up.
No, not up my ass.
Oh, actually, this is way more practical.
Oh, wow. I could still walk pretty good with this.
You got any other documents they might need? I think there's space in here.
Got so many gigs down here.
So many gigs.
Well, no, I've got... That's for client A. You're client B. I've got to get... I
got a double load on my flight to Newark.
Yeah, exactly. My brain's got the cure for Nas. My ass has got... 6 hours of music.
No, it's okay. I can hold that. I took an Imodium AD.
It's
gonna be blocked up.
It's got all of Alice in Chains' discography.
Why would I need to transfer that secretly? So,
well, it could be outlawed in the future.
Oh, that's Alice in Chains could be outlawed.
It's all anime now.
Grunge music is outlawed.
Outlawed. Yeah.
Only listening to the Chemical Brothers.
Chemical Brothers. Yep.
So he gets the upload complete and like kind of has a little bit of a coke overdose and like his nose starts bleeding.
Because they've been telling him for 5 minutes, like, dude, honestly, if you're lying to us and don't have enough room in your dumb head for this information, you're going to get really jacked up. He's like, that's cool.
I just really need the money. I'll do anything for the money. Also, Johnny Mnemonic, if you are trying to save up this money for this operation, don't spend nights with $10,000 hookers.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
You know, just go for like a 20 handy around the corner. You are in Newark, New Jersey.
The free city of Newark. Iced tea's there. I mean, who knows what's going on?
So he goes in the bathroom to take care of this nosebleed, and that's when, like, the Yakuza come in and start firing up the joint.
Yeah, now we're totally animated out. This one guy, the lead baddie there.
B. Takeshi.
No, B. Takeshi's the guy who works for, like, the pharmaceutical company. Pharmacon. There's a different fella who's like, because there's two factions that want this information. Pharmacon and the Yakuza for some reason.
Right, okay. I'm it's hard to tell two criminals apart, corporate and
and Japanese gangs. Yes.
Shinji is this dude.
Shinji's the other guy, yeah.
And he's got this thing, again, stolen from an anime called Ninja Scroll, which is this weird like laser whip type sort of...
Oh, laser piano wire?
Yeah, he's got laser piano wire, which is pretty much
that's stolen from Ninja Scroll?
Absolutely.
You know what you should do? Never watch Ninja Scroll.
Oh, yeah, you can't. You can't be an adult and watch Ninja Scroll.
What's Ninja Scroll?
It is... the most disgusting anime that's ever walked this.
I mean, it's
well,
probably
I mean,
not.
I'm sure someone will correct me because yeah. That stuff's out the wazoo.
What
I
is
mean,
it? It's filthy?
Well, it's just there's a rape scene in it you don't want to talk about.
There's monsters doing all kinds of things
to
lady parts.
Is it tentacle porn?
No, but it's like
it
a rock monster raping a lady. Like, you don't want to be around there for
it's
that.
It's like tentacle porn with a bunch of murder for no reason.
Oh, I see. So it's, come it's, for the laser piano wire. Stay for getting creeped out.
It's so disturbing.
So this guy's got this little gadget, and they're like shooting up all these scientists, killing all these people and everything. And Keanu Reeves is literally just cowering in the bathroom.
He does a little bit of ass kicking this bald guy because he's like, "Hey, Baldy," and then
that guy just becomes Baldy.
Yep.
Because every scene after that, when Keanu Reeves sees him, he greets him with, "Oh, hey, Baldy." Like, that guy's trying to kill you at every turn. Why not be a little less casual with him?
Yeah. It's Sir.
Sir Baldy.
Or at least Mr. Baldy.
And
Belvedere.
Professor Baldy.
Yeah.
So there's this stupid thing where, like, after you get all your information in, there's a 3-picture encryption code.
Correct.
That
because this needs the microfilm.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yes. And you need more than you need a MacGuffin to unlock your MacGuffin is what you really want.
Yes.
So the 3 pictures like print out, but like Keanu Reeves grabs part of it and it gets torn in half.
And then Shinji gets the other one. It's like, oh my God, this is the movie, everybody.
And there's kind of like a little bit of a racist thing here where Keanu Reeves puts on an Asian guy costume. Do you remember this? He gets in the elevator and he knows that like Shinji and the gang are following him. And he pulls this disguise out of his coat and he puts it on and it's like a hat and this like long shoulder length black hair and these like circle blue glasses. And he walks out of the elevator like with his arms kind of folded and just like very carefully and slowly just like saunters out of the hotel.
And he walks right past those black crows and zoot suits. coming in from Dumbo.
I was going to say he walks past a couple of Peter Sellers characters doing similar shticks for completely different reasons.
Dude, I'm sure he's a nice guy, but whoever voiced those black crows definitely went to hell, right? Like,
oh yeah, that guy's burning with the best of them. He's down there with Walt Disney,
John Wayne,
all of America's heroes.
Previously established is in hell.
He's definitely in hell.
And so he calls up Udo Kier. He's like, "What the fuck?" And Udo goes, "Oh, it's okay. Come meet me in my vampire lair, Newark, New Jersey."
So he flies to Newark and he goes through the security thing where, like, this computer sensor detects his implant.
Yeah.
But it's a thing, it registers as a thing to help with dyslexia or something like that. But the computer's like, "By the way, your brain is bleeding. You should get that checked in 24 hours or less." And he's like, "Thank you.
You probably should have just put it in your ass."
That implant could have gone in your ass.
You could have said it was a diarrhea implant to help you not have diarrhea. So we cut to the weird Udo Kier sex club. Which,
it's totally a sex club.
Yes. There's like everyone's like bondage-y and
he's got like these drag queen
these like muscle bound drag queen bodyguards.
One's a muscle, one's a drag queen, one's I think Tweety, I want to say. Or
Jeff Tweety.
Jeff Tweety plays one of them. Tweed.
Which is not Tweety at all. Not English. I was like, English supermodel from the 70s.
She came back.
What was that, Twiggy?
Oh, that was Twiggy. What the hell? Oh, Tweety.
Jeff Tweety. Yeah, welcome, man. Just,
oh, no. I was also confusing another Twiggy. Wasn't there a person that played music with Marilyn Manson named Twiggy?
Yes.
Yeah.
I see.
Let's go through all the weird bassists of history. or whatever. I don't know. Keanu Reeves.
I mean, there you go. Dog Star, man.
Didn't he didn't he play drums in Dog Star?
Oh, was he the drummer?
I think he... You might be right, actually. I don't know. I don't remember what instrument he played. Anyway, we're at this sex club. And Udo Kier, who's hilariously, his name is Ralphie, which is great because it's just Keanu. He's like, hey, Ralphie, you tried to screw me, Ralphie. I'm not going to let you do it again, Ralphie. Like, stop saying Ralphie.
Well, before this happens, Dina Meyer and poor old Henry Rollins show up.
Henry Rollins is like a nerdy scientist surgeon.
Nope.
Yeah, right.
Not buying it.
No, not this buying a like, second of it.
This is like Denise Richards playing a rocket scientist in that James Bond picture. Am I right?
Well, Henry Rollins has kind of made, Henry Rollins has kind of made a career by being smarter than you think he is. But that doesn't mean a whole lot. You know, it's just like, I'm really well read. It's like, all right, Henry, that's fine. You know, I don't
it's
know.
Better than not being, I guess. But he's playing a character named Spider.
Yes.
And he is like an implant surgeon. And he's given this woman all these implants to make her like bionically stronger and whatever. And she really, for some reason, wants to be a bodyguard for Ralphie. And she comes up and she's like, your deadbeat old ass drag queen bodyguards are old school. Like, I could kick their ass and whatever. Like, we just got some useless like bodyguard fighting for a couple of minutes.
Yeah, I mean, she's actually, I read a little bit about what the story was.
oh, good.
Her character actually does most of the action in the story. Like, she's like a real badass, and they neuter her down.
That would have been better if Johnny was more of
like the passive.
Like a Cary Grant type, sort of just running through the motions. Like, oh dear.
So yeah, I think there also might be some sort of like infiltration attempt here. Like, maybe that's why she's trying to get this job.
I don't know. I think she's just looking for the money because everything's so shitty, and she's like, I'm a tough lady, and I want to get there. And like,
right.
Even like, it's great because Henry Rollins is like, dude, it's not going to work.
Yeah, I know my implants aren't that great. You're not going to pull this off. So Keanu Reeves storms in.
Yeah, he gets beaten up in the bathroom and taken away. Like, what? He's like, hey, Ralphie, I'm going to assault you in the bathroom. And he's like, what'd you put in my head, man? And like, Ralphie, again, I mean, I guess because he's Udo Kier, he can't convince Keanu Reeves that he's like in the right. He can't be like, oh, I don't know anything about the Yakuza. Like, he's like, sorry. Like, no, like,
everything that comes out of his mouth sounds like he's like lying to you in a dastardly fashion.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's just the way Udo Kier's voice sounds.
Yeah.
He's a vampire.
So it's like, okay, you know, I've arranged for you to have this surgery. It's just down that hall.
Yeah.
It's like the good coats are in the back, Johnny Mnemonic. Like, go down there. And so he goes,
I gotta go. I'll call you tomorrow. No, go further in.
And so he goes into this back room. There's this like huge fat professional wrestler in a cowboy hat, and Baldy's there again. And you know, he suspects that he's been like set up or something.
Yeah.
And you know, he beats the crap out of this fat guy, which is pretty great.
And he's like, oh, hey, Baldy, yet again. And this is when Ice-T shows up.
Ice-T,
J-Bone.
Playing J-Bone, who looks like he was designed after Adam Durowitz from Counting Crows. Because the hair on this guy.
What if the Counting Crows were in the post-apocalypse? We think it might look a little something like this.
At least I'm not a fucking kangaroo in this movie. Man, that Tank Girl. Woof.
Tank Girl is something else.
Is that a Stay Tuned?
Yeah, it might
Maybe.
Be.
I don't know.
It's not an outright grand slam. No. I haven't seen it in a couple of years.
But Ice-T definitely plays a kangaroo, an animatronic kangaroo in that movie.
Sure does. It's really weird.
Now, and who played Kangaroo Jack?
I don't know who voiced Kangaroo Jack. Was it somebody?
Yeah, I don't know.
I watched like 15 minutes of that movie and turned it off. So, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Someone's under attack and Ice-T like saves Keanu Reeves' life and then vice versa. So it's like, now we're even or whatever.
And he leads the resistance, obviously.
Right, yeah. Right.
He's a real Dennis Miller and Demolition Man, if you know what I'm talking about. If you get what I'm laying down.
Well, because this is another thing that we learned from reading the scroll is there is this resistance group that calls themselves the Low-Techs.
Yeah, that was Article B, Paragraph 7 of the scroll about the Low-Techs.
The Johnny Mnemonic constitutional length scroll. So they are like a faction of people that, you know, they're waiting for just the right moment to take down these gigantic corporations and kind of like I guess Fight Club everything, you know, Project Mayhem, the town of Newark, I guess is the idea.
I just love the Fight Club everything.
Fight Club's a verb.
Yeah.
No, sure. Yeah, of course.
You're going to put the Pixies on and you're going to Fight Club the city. It's going to happen.
The ending of this movie is pretty much Fight Club, but BT dubs.
It almost exactly is the ending of Fight Club. Yeah, I didn't think about that, actually.
You met me at a real strange part of my life. When I didn't seepage. Have sideburns. Oh, no, the seepage burned off my sideburns.
It only burned off one sideburn. I better shave off the other one so I don't look like an idiot.
Well, I just don't think I could be with a man without sideburns.
Oh, no, now I need a $10,000 prostitute.
There's a great moment like where they Ice-T and Keanu Reeves like have this confrontation in the alley, and you know, Keanu Reeves like points a gun at him. He's like, "Who are you?" And he's like, "I'm J-Bone. I run the resistance. There's my headquarters that I call heaven." And like Johnny looks, and then Ice-T totally does a Batman like escape. He's like, "Well, that looks like a shitty hideout." And he turns back around and Ice-T's just gone and like the wind's blowing.
Right. That's the only time Ice-T was Batman. I mean, I would have liked that.
Ice-T played Batman?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'd be fine with that.
Like, if there was one, like, if in Batman and Robin, it was Ice-T instead of George Clooney, better movie, right?
You're right. I would like to see Ice-T play the little kid in Gotham. I don't know, he could walk on his knees or something.
I'd buy it. So he goes back to Udo Kier and he's like, "You tried to have me killed, Ralphie. You set me up." And he's like, "No, I promise. Now this is going to be the real way I help you." And then it turns out that Udo Kier is in bed with the Yakuza. And so here's this dude again with his razor wire. Mm-hmm. And they strap him down to a table and they're going to like cut his head off.
Well, the weird thing is they knock him out, right? And he's totally knocked out. Cut his fucking head off then. Like, yeah, he's out, head's out, put him in the cryo tube, you're done. But they wake him up, like, "Hey, wait, wake up. You're about to die."
Yeah. Hey, wake up, we're going to cut your head off. You awake for this? We want you to be awake so you know what happened to you. And then so Jane comes in, it breaks everything up. Is Udo Kier killed?
Yeah, well, he is.
He's got an amazing death. What's his name, Shinji?
Shinji, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah, he breaks out his laser.
Oh, yeah.
His laser piano wire thing, and it slices Ralphie into actual ribbons.
Oh, yeah,
he slides apart, and it's a pretty gnarly scene.
They stole that death for that first Resident Evil movie.
Yes.
Remember that? Is it Michelle Rodriguez that gets that?
I don't remember.
It's like the lasers like pass through her.
Yeah.
Right. And they're like, "Huh." And then the person just falls apart.
Yeah, they turn into cold cuts and just fall out to nothing.
The convenient cold cuts. We're gonna roll this up, put it on the table.
But the weird thing is Keanu Reeves, and he does this like two or three times. Dina Meyer, like, you know, basically she's like, "I want to be your bodyguard. You got to pay me $50,000. He's like, "Deal, dude." And like, she busts it up. He gets a gun on Shinji and he's like pointing it at his head. It's like, "Now I'm going to leave. Talk to you later." Like, no. You blow this guy away.
Yeah. Just end of movie.
Him. Yes.
When did the Mongols rule China?
Oh, Bill and Ted.
Yeah, there you go.
I was like, what? But you're totally right, though. But, you know, then we don't have a movie. But honestly, there's two factions going after what's in your head. Knock off one of them.
Yeah, can we talk about it? I don't understand. I honestly, literally, this is maybe the first movie that we've watched in 190 movies or something where I actually didn't get it. Like, I didn't understand what the other guy's deal was and who was in the computer and why that was going on.
So Beat Takeshi, who's an awesome actor.
Right. Great filmmaker too. Want to do a little recommend here.
Do it.
I'm going to butcher the pronunciation of this. Kikujiro.
Right. Yeah.
It's him wandering around with a little kid.
Yes.
It's pretty cool.
He's a really like famous, prolific Japanese actor.
Right. So
he's slumming Zatoichi. It in this movie. Sure. Yeah, he did a bunch of the Zatoichi movies. So he is a representative for
Pharmacon.
This Pharmacon.
Sure, got right? that part.
So Pharmacon Spoiler alert, the information that's in Johnny Mnemonic's head is the cure for the Nas virus. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what it is. So
is it the 2000s then?
Swish.
Very good.
So that's why, like, Pharmacon wants that back because they don't want the information going public. So that's why Beat Takeshi's trying to get it back. And I guess the Yakuza want it because they're just going to, like, sell it to the highest bidder. Because that's what the mafia
who's
does.
Who's the lady in the computer?
So that is a bit of artificial intelligence, which they don't address whatsoever in this movie.
It's like, just like a ghost woman. It's
yeah, I it's don't got, because
it's
the
a ghost
first time,
in the machine. It's the friggin' animes.
All those animes are back. All you kids in your animes watching, listen, reading your William Gibson. It's ridiculous.
But that's the first time we're introduced to this lady character is Beat Takeshi's like talking to her on a TV. And he's like, I think I'm going to do this with Johnny Mnemonic. And she's like, that's a bad idea, Beat Takeshi. You should probably reconsider it. I'm like, what's this like ghost giving him advice?
It doesn't make sense. And like, you know, he's got a dead daughter, which kind of is like thrown around. It's like
a daughter who I think died from the Nas virus.
Yes, and he knew how to save her but didn't because of corporate interest and something.
Right.
And way too much detail for a character that has about 4 minutes of screen time.
Also, why don't you put that in the scroll, baby?
You might as well.
Maybe then I'd know what's going on.
I mean, and again, and then he even goes even further because Shinji is working with him and he fails him. So then he's like, you know what? Let's get one more villain in this pot and let's get fucking Dolph Stupid Lundgren to play Jesus.
Oh man, this is great.
He's not playing Jesus.
And he's not stupid. He's like a nuclear physicist, I think, or something.
Dolph Lundgren?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like a genius.
But he's street preacher.
Yes. Street preacher.
Right.
But he does say things such as it's Jesus time when he's about to attack.
Well, come to Jesus.
Yeah.
Well, I think when he's hired, he says that, you know, like, who do you need sent to Jesus? Because he's going to kill him.
Yeah. Oh,
so I think that's kind of part of it. But but he is kind of, I often do think of Dolph Lundgren as a Christ-like figure.
Of course. So. His career died and then was resurrected by the Expendables.
Right.
Yeah, this was this is actually the last movie he did until The Expendables.
His last theatrically released.
I mean, oh, he did a lot of movies.
So wait.
There's about 9 box sets worth of direct-to-DVD and VHS movies.
So this is like, what is it, Black Friday or something?
Yeah.
And then Expendables is Easter.
Yeah.
He is risen.
You know that? Yep, that's exactly it.
That scene in Zodiac when, like, Jake Gyllenhaal's bringing all the boxes into the fucking living room and Chloe 7 like, what's this? He's like, these are all the direct-to-DVD movies Dolph Lundgren's done. I gotta watch them all this weekend.
I want a divorce.
Exactly.
You're obsessed. What about our kids? You'll never catch that Dolph Lundgren.
He's a sniper in this one. Oh, he's a sniper in all of them.
But Dolph Lundgren is awesome in this movie as like a totally unnecessary tertiary villain. We already got the Yakuza and Beat Takeshi. Come on.
Well, here the thing is, we're in the future.
Sure.
And you cannot, and I underline this, you cannot have a movie set in the future that does not have a bounty hunter. Right? I mean, they always have bounty hunters.
I guess that's true.
But then, at this point then, like, maybe he does kill Shinji, right? And he's like, oh, my God, you know, my minion has failed me. Now let's activate the real crazy guy. And it's Dolph Lundgren, and that's fine. Just cut Shinji out of the movie. It's fine.
Exactly. He's a boring-ass character anyway.
It's true. He's really boring.
Dolph Lundgren's greatest detail is he has his like, weapon of choice is a crucifix where the bottom of it's a huge Bowie knife. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's cool.
That's the only way you can kill Udo Kier, by the way. In case
I was going to say, it is a Vampire Hunter's weapon, for sure. A crucifix, a legit, nicely sculpted crucifix with a knife stuck on the end of it. So yeah, now he's going after Johnny and Jane.
So Jane's like, let's go see Henry Rollins, because we haven't seen him in a little while. And he's... his name's Spider, and he's got glasses, which means he's smart.
but he's still hard, you know? He's still a man, a tough dude, because his name is Spider.
Right. Well, this tells you, like, the dull pacing of this movie, because on their way from where, you know, they had their last encounter with Udo Kier and whatnot, to Henry Rollins' doctor's office, both characters have to take a time out because they have seizures. Like, they're walking in a subway tunnel, and Keanu Reeves, because he's got all the data in his head, like, kind of has, like, little, like, freakouts every once in a while. So he starts freaking out and seizing up, like, in the subway tunnel. And, like, we cut at one point. He's kind of having some, like, some memories from his childhood are seeping in because we totally care about Johnny's childhood.
Oh, it's my 7th birthday party. Isn't that interesting?
Look, a red tricycle. That's significant. And so, like, we cut back to the subway tunnel after these memories, and he's like, oh, you let me take a nap? And I was like, I'm taking a nap. We all just took a nap watching your 7th birthday party footage.
Oh, that's a memory from my ass smuggling days. That's how you become a mnemonic smuggler. You work up through ass smuggling.
So then, like, they get another, they walk maybe like another 5 minutes, and they're all of a sudden in an abandoned shopping mall, and she starts freaking out because she's getting the black shakes. The black shakes is what it is. So she's
tested
doing
positive for NAS.
Well, it's great because he almost leaves her, and I kind of was like, oh, man, is he going to leave her? That's kind of awesome.
Yeah. You just stay here shaking. I have things to do.
I'll just gently lay you down on this garbage.
Oh, man, it's like Soylent Green. There's just people, garbage people everywhere. No one will notice.
There are a lot of, like, in both the subway tunnel and this mall, just homeless people just laying there, not, like, acknowledging them at all.
Yeah.
Just like sitting on the floor.
It's Newark, man. What are you talking about? I'm just joshing you, Newark.
So we get to Henry Rollins' office, and, you know, it's the old, like, who the hell are you? Because I'm Henry Rollins, and that's my lady friend, and all this stuff. And, you know, he starts, like, taking care of Jane, and it takes, like, 2 seconds and is totally insignificant.
And it's my least favorite, like, screenplay tick ever, where he's like, what's your name? And he's like, Johnny. And he's like, Johnny what? Just Johnny. And he's like, all right, just Johnny. And he just keeps calling him just Johnny the whole rest of the movie before he's crucified.
Wait a second. A guy named Spider.
Yeah.
And that's it. He's identified as just Spider.
Yep.
Is taking issue with someone that wants to be identified as Johnny.
Yeah. Like, just Johnny. Well, that's stupid. Hi, I'm Spider. And so, you know, Spider starts explaining, you know, listen, I can do this, like, pretty dangerous operation and get this chip out of your head. You might lose all motor function and you won't be able to remember anything past 3 minute spans and this, that, and the other thing. And Keanu Reeves is like, well, that doesn't sound like a very good idea. And, you know, Henry Rollins is telling him, like, well, you're going to die anyway because your brain's got all that anal seepage happening in it. And so, like,
one great moment here is when Johnny asks Spider about, like, what's causing the NAS virus and stuff. What's causing it? This is causing it. This is causing it. And he's like kicking around all the computers in the area.
Yeah, all the instruments he might need to continue this doctor practice or whatever.
Yeah. So the idea is that people are getting the shakes from just all the electrodes in the air, man. Yep. All your smartphones.
Oh, your gadgets, your doohickeys, your whatnots. They're all just poisoning you, man.
Your, like, brain chips.
But we can't live without them, right? And he says in his best bad delivery. And it's just, you know what, man? Just don't preach to me right now. It's 1994. All I could do is play Sega fucking CD, okay? There's no great danger here.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, it's cautionary sci-fi.
They got a lot right. I'll give them that much. Got a lot right.
Yeah, I mean, I do have to put on a VR helmet, and then I'm Andross from Star Fox using the internet, grabbing boxes and shaking things.
When Johnny gets into this goddamn VR, he looks like Slender Man.
He does.
He does totally. Because it's like he's got,
because he wears this black suit through the whole thing, and now he's just an elongated, weird, like, non-faced person in the Slender Man suit.
My VR personality told me to kill all my friends. Then I could be his disciple, Slender Man.
Well, that's
he lives in the woods, sort of like the 57 Ronin. What was that?
47 Ronin. You're 10 too high. That's a sequel.
That's a sequel.
They fight. Oh no, we just found 10 more Ronin. Awesome.
Come on, 10 more Ronin. We're gonna make the 57 Ronin now. Let's go fight another lady who turns into a dragon or something that happens in that movie.
That does happen in that movie.
You saw that movie?
I did.
And wow. You're the guy, huh?
no, I did not see it in theaters, all right? But I think a lot of Ronin die. God rest their souls.
There's not 47 Ronin at the
end? I think you're going to have to get another fucking 46.
Yeah, something tells me Keanu's only coming out on top at the end of that movie.
But that's, yeah, the internet in this movie, which we kind of have
sweet Ronin.
He tries to hack into it to get more information.
Right.
And he goes into the regular internet where he puts on his little helmet, and he's doing, it's the stupidest thing. Like, this is not convenient, where I have to, like, literally grab things.
And you're, like breaking things apart as if he's looking through electronic boxes.
To, like, get a password into something, he has to, like, rearrange a puzzle box. That might summon Hellraiser. I don't know.
I would love it if Pinhead just came out and he said, "Oh, finally, Johnny, we meet again."
And Johnny's like, "Ooh, wrong chat room." Click.
No, to get the password, he has to answer 3 asinine questions and then dance with the Nick Arcade guy all the way over to the arcade games. Let's all go to Nick Arcade. Here we go. Let's move Mikey again. Oh, no, I haven't moved Mikey enough.
What is your favorite color?
I'm on the team, the Silver Monkeys. Oh, wait, wrong Nickelodeon game show.
Yeah, it's all the same.
Olmec would fit in well inside this VR
world.
Oh,
man, you might as well put Olmec and everybody else. Ren and Stimpy should show up. It's an orange cassette tape. I mean, come on, it's all there.
It's all right there.
I think it might be a shared cinematic universe.
I'd buy it. The Rugrats and this post-apocalyptic society? Sure. Well, I guess it's not post-apocalypse. That's not really accurate.
Right. No, it's cyberpunk.
They use the Rugrats to placate the masses.
Those Rugrats are making you stupid!
So then we go to Grand Central for a little while. And where, you know, it's all like there's apparently it's a hospital now for cyberpunks.
Cyberpunks
right
only.
From all the cyberpunk wars.
And Dolph Lundgren shows up and crucifies Henry Rollins.
Now, let me stop you right there, because this is another classic case of your memory playing tricks on you.
Because you tricked me because I never saw this movie. Yeah. And all week you were like, oh, man, I can't wait for the part when
I swear to God, I remembered this as Ice-T getting crucified, not Henry Rollins. And for no reason. I mean, Ice-T survives through the end of the movie. Like, just, I hadn't seen this movie, like, since renting it or, like, a few years after or something like that. And, like, I just remembered it wrong. And it sucks because I love Ice-T. And I was like, oh, man, I'm so bummed Ice-T's going to get killed in this movie.
Well, I was like, oh, shit, Henry Rollins and Ice-T get crucified. Because when it happened, I was like, oh, man, Dolph Lundgren just cuts through this cast, huh?
Well, I think, like, crucifying stuff is this dude's game.
Yeah.
Because, like, there's a couple of other people, like, he tries to crucify.
Yeah, right.
Like, there's... he
to
runs,
mixed results.
He runs into, like, this old man in an alleyway, and the guy's like, oh, you're Jesus, huh? Well, my name's Mort. How are you? And this dude's dressed as, like, a hotel bellhop or something, and he's got, like, a robotic arm.
Yeah,
and the
yeah.
whole thing is, like, Dolph Lundgren, like, takes this dude by the hands and, like, puts his arms up, like, as if he's, like, crucified, like, looking like... Yeah, this might work. Yeah, you'd look pretty sharp crucified.
Dude, what he does to this guy, by the way, he was a bartender in some other scene in the background.
He's
got a robot arm, and every time this dude moves it, it's
oh man, it's like Griff Tannen.
Yeah, exactly. So, and then Dolph Lundgren puts this arm into like the liquid nitrogen or something that this dude just has sitting on his desk or something.
Well, that's what we drink in the cyberpunk future.
Yeah.
it takes those black shakes down a notch.
But in his interrogation, he breaks this dude's arm into a million pieces, and it's just this bloody stump, and it's just like...
It's pretty great. You can't crucify that now, though.
Well, another piece of Dolph Lundgren's thing is like, all right, not only is he the guy who's obsessed with Jesus and a bounty hunter, he also is more machine than man at this point.
They say like he is sort of indestructible because he has so many bionic implants.
He's addicted to implants or something like that.
Right, which I think is also the name of a TLC show.
And maybe I was reading this wrong, but well, I didn't read it, but I thought maybe he was also taking biological pieces too. Like, is he?
Oh, you think he's like a Frankenstein?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe.
Maybe
that,
it's just everything.
That right arm isn't his original right arm.
Exactly. It's like a really sexy one. And I thought he was sizing up that bartender. I was like, he wants that robot arm.
Oh, well, he might want the robot arm. Yeah, that's all interesting.
But I don't know.
Well, he must have not wanted it if he froze it and then smashed it into a million pieces.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I have the ass of a 20-year-old. No, seriously, look. Look at the ass of Jesus. It's pretty great. Look at my holy ass.
Yeah, just like Jesus was a Frankenstein.
So
I took this beard off a hobo.
Before they leave Henry Rollins, he's like, oh, and by the way, you got to go to this person, Jones.
Oh, God.
You know, go find Jones. Jones is going to, you know, take care of you. So, like, they're on this mission to find Jones because Jones is the only person he knows that can help get, like, the last image pieces, like, out of Keanu Reeves' head or whatever. Like, they'll sync brains or some such nonsense.
Because, yeah, Henry Rollins tries to hack his brain but can't. And even Keanu Reeves is like, hey, do you want the one picture I have? And Henry was like, no, that's not going to help. I'm like, well, actually, that'll, you know, cut one third of the workout, I think. And I'm not a big hacker, but I do know knowing one piece of a code is better than knowing none of the code, right?
Yeah, so, you know, take what you can get. No, all or nothing. I don't need your bits of information, Spider. Spider what? How do you like it?
Just Spider, huh?
Do you think maybe Spider has a lot of victims on the web?
Oh, I
you know,
see.
Maybe he's like, maybe he's an online predator. You don't know.
Why would you make that your public nickname if you're an online predator?
You're proud of it? I mean, it is the free city of Newark. I don't know if there's laws against it there.
Well, hey there, Spider. You're here for the party, aren't you? Well, sit right down.
Oh, I was just meeting my friend. I think somebody's calling me outside.
No. Spider, please sit right down. I'm 2021's Chris Hansen. Here to talk to you about your online handle, Spider.
Would you like some lemonade or cookies?
And you know what? That's another thing. 2021.
Uh-huh.
1995 was when this movie came out. Let's just go 2048. 2085.
Yeah. Yep.
3004, because this is stupid.
Actually, you know, but here's the thing, like this, the idea of what the 90s thought the future was going to be like in 2020 and stuff. It's my favorite timeline.
Yeah.
It's just so wackadoodle. It's
oh, like 90s movies idea of what the future is.
Yeah. Like this Demolition Man. They're
Free
all
Free Jack.
Fun. Yeah.
Free Jack's a good 90s future.
That's insane. Free Jack is new listeners. We did a previous episode on Free Jack and it is worth your time.
Emilio Estevez and a Rolling Stone.
And Mike the Cleaner.
Oh, yeah. I totally forgot he's in
Walter.
That. So we get to, like, Ice-T's head. Like, Ice-T's like, I'll help you out. Like, he knows who Jonesy is. He's got Jonesy in heaven.
Well, we missed Keanu's big monologue about room service and hooker. Like, he kind of, like, they're trying. Like, it's basically like, you get to the wizard's castle and no one's letting you in. And he's getting all like, he's all getting flummoxed outside, you know?
Is this when he's like yelling up to them? Like, hey,
what's going on up there?
I could see you from here looking at me and laughing. Don't laugh at me. I'm trying to save the world.
No. You just turned out the light. I just saw you turn out the light. You're in there.
I can hear you literally laughing at me.
So they drop a Volkswagen Bug on him that explodes. it's like their defense system. Yeah. It's like
defend the drawbridge kind of a thing.
Yeah, like Ice-T's got this place pretty well booby-trapped.
Yeah.
I gotta say, it's pretty great. Yeah, you're just dropping cars from a bridge. Kind of awesome. And yeah, I was pretty sure that this was supposed to be the Brooklyn Bridge, but I don't know how that makes any sense.
Because they're all in Newark most of the time. They do go to New York to Grand Central Station for a second.
Or
is that Newark Penn?
Yeah, is there like I don't know. And Newark probably has a bridge or two. I wouldn't know. But a
couple of bridges. Yeah, I don't know. But I could have sworn it was supposed to be the Brooklyn Bridge. But whatever, who cares? Like, that's where his base of operations is.
Now, I know everyone's going to write in that it was the George Washington Bridge, and we're idiots. But
I mean, we are idiots.
Yeah, that is true.
I can't be bothered to read a scroll. I mean, my God.
They should have told us in the scroll what bridge the Heaven headquarters was located under.
I would have liked to have known. Yes.
Would it have killed them to put that into the scroll?
You know, it wouldn't.
I'm not going to pause my movie to read your fucking scroll, okay?
There was one point where I looked away and the scroll was still going and I got distracted by something. And I looked back and I was like, oh shit, did I miss anything?
Oh no!
Do I have to jog back this disc?
Maybe that's when the ghost lady makes sense. Maybe that's how it is. And then there's a ghost lady that comes and tells you all the right things to say.
Yeah, everyone else is going to be like, guys, you don't know what the ghost lady is for? She appears like here and there again, but not really.
But I don't know who she's working for.
She works for the pharmaceutical company.
But isn't she kind of helping Johnny a little bit?
She is, because the thing that Johnny's carrying in his mind is actually the cure for the shakes, the cure for Nas.
And it's, oh yeah, that's right. And it's like,
and she's like altruistic for some reason.
Right, because it's an artificial intelligence that's like grown a conscience. So like she's sort of also, because that's why she's saying to Beat Takeshi, like, you know you shouldn't be doing this, Beat Takeshi. Your daughter died from this. Remember that?
Oh.
Ooh, here's some video footage of her in case you forgot. Here she is alive and breathing. And he's just like, why do we even talk to you, stupid ghost machine?
Speaking of crazy shit with that guy. At one point, you know, a few points, Johnny's actually going to go to the corporation to get the stuff taken out by them.
Oh, right. He tries to set up a meeting with like the big like dude or whatever.
Yeah, it's like this white dude that's just like on the vid phone, right? You know, that's just like, yeah, no, we can totally take that out for you. Why don't you come down to my office? It's later revealed that it's Beat just playing with it. It's a puppet. It's a fake guy. He's flapping his hand around. He's like
sarai, sarai, sarai.
He's talking to a sock puppet.
And he doesn't even know it.
Doesn't even know it, man.
I got fooled by Syphil and Ollie.
What's that? Pharmacon? It's not easy being green. Well, I agree.
Yes, and a waka waka to you too, sir. I can't wait to have this chip removed from my brain.
Stop telling me how to count to 10. I just want to meet you.
You know, they're speaking my language. I'm going in.
It is awesome, though. Like, the big reveal of it is just like him putting the hand like up to some sort of sensor. Yeah. And it's like, bah, 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 bah. It's just like making this hunk CEO like computer image.
God, I would love to vid prank some people in the future.
Oh, yeah.
Just send me there for a week or so just so I can go. You know, maybe I can like get this hunky dude to take his shirt off. Give me a lot. It's vid phone pranking. It's a whole other level.
Dude, you're
going to
catfish people on vid phone?
Oh, man.
Yes.
Catfish the shit out of everybody.
Oh, man. I thought I had vid phone sex with this handsome hunk. Turned out to be this fat guy's fingers.
Dude, man, I once got Spider in on that action.
He started making me ask him weird things, though, and I didn't ask Spider back the next time I was vid catfishing.
I got my left hand's a lady and my right hand's a dude. Sometimes I do the double fish.
The double fish?
I got two, like, we're on, like, a chat with, you're on a chat with a sexy couple now.
That Nev Schulman's just disgusted with you. And throws your phone in a river.
What's great too is he'll be like an old man with a cane.
Like 7 years?
Yeah, like a gray streak, because it's the cyberpunk future.
Yeah, that's true.
But that Max is long dead.
Oh yeah,
because he had gray hair in our regular timeline.
Yeah, he would die from Nas because he's always got that tiny camera in his hand.
Yeah. Oh God, it would just riddle him.
So you guys know the names of these two idiots, and I'm like, they're just talking about those catfish guys. I'm just gonna let them go.
Nearly every episode.
Are you kidding me?
I've seen every episode, and I say that embarrassedly.
Well, but as long as you're embarrassed about it,
it's my addiction. Man.
It's a hate watch. Yeah,
exactly.
And that's
a lot of MTV is hate watchable.
It's fake, right? Like, there's more truth to Teen Wolf.
I mean, it's definitely staged. They every episode has the same formula where it's like, oh my God, who's doing this? And they know, like, obviously when they start the episode, they know exactly who's doing it.
Right.
But I do think most of the interactions aren't as staged as the actual formula of the show. Like, if you're catfishing Eric and you're right. saying you're a sexy lady, and I'm like, Eric, oh my God, who's catfishing you? I have no idea. Let me do some Google research. Oh my God, it's Andrew.
Right. So they know.
That's every episode.
So like 3 minutes are real, and yeah. the rest of it's like them doing their research. And then it's a lot of weird homoerotica stuff in hotel rooms.
Is there ever an episode where it's like, oh, no, it turned out he was this football star.
Yes.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So it wasn't catfishing?
There, yeah,
how did it make it on the air?
They, I believe it popped up on the screen, hashtag realfish.
No, it didn't.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, mercy. that was a big old hashtag real fish.
And then there was the time that the real big fish guys did catfish that one guy. Hashtag real big fish.
Yeah, they were conning him into thinking that they were a big band.
But they're relevant.
We're just kidding around, real but big fish. I know they're listening.
They're my favorite band. I unapologetically love them. Anyway, so how is it that they convince Ice-T to stop dropping cars on them? This like the third act of this movie gets a little hazy, but like also because the Yakuza and Beat Takeshi like all show up at the hideout kind of at the same time.
Well, yeah, they've got like a 2 minute. I don't even know. They just get up.
Stop throwing cars at me.
Hey, no. Oh, boof.
Dodging these cars. You're wasting your car. We met 15 hours ago.
It's almost the post-apocalypse. You just wasted $20,000 on me. And I'm still alive.
So anyway, they're up there. And he's like, I have to talk to Jones. Jones is going to get this chip out of my head. And Ice-T's like, all right, he's right over there.
Oh, God.
In that tank of water.
Oh, no. Because
Jones is a dolphin. Oh, a dolphin that the military used to use for, like, coded something something.
And that is in the short story. That's straight from William Gibson's head.
But that's kind of a real thing, right? Don't we use dolphins in some way to, like, transport something?
They're tuna fish, yeah.
I thought that was a legitimate thing that we were trying to figure out. Was
I'm
getting...
sure there's some egghead somewhere in a dark laboratory toying with some.
Oh, some man.
Egghead.
You start a relationship with some sexy 19-year-old girl, and you're like, oh, man, I can't wait to meet her. And then Nev Schulman's like, all right, man. We're going to Minneapolis to meet this sexy girl. I think you're gonna be in love with her. We'll figure it out there, but she might be catfishing you. Just letting you know. You get up and it's a dolphin in a tank with an implant head.
That sounds like the plot of a South Park episode.
It may just be.
Well, here's the love of your life. Don't you feel stupid, catfish? God, I hate those guys.
Oh, they're terrible.
Ah, so we get up there and it's like, all right, you got to mind meld with this dolphin and he'll like, you know, sort of hack your brain and, you know, help you figure out what this other clue is so you can download the.
And I mean, like, way to waste a dolphin. You know what I mean? Like,
this dolphin isn't even like, yes, I am Jones. Have Keith David do the voice of Jones.
Yes.
Like Johnny Mnemonic. I'm Little Jones. And I can't take anything out from air because I'm a dolphin.
Just like a dolphin with his voice telling me to have a seat. Like, I'm sitting down.
Oh, yeah. I am following this dolphin's instructions.
Yes.
To the letter.
That'd be a great end, Keith David. Because, you know, when you're watching the movie and it's like this person, that person, and Keith David, the rest of you are like, ooh, Keith David. And you perk up because you're a weirdo. And you're like, I can't wait to see when he's going to show up.
How'd you get the beans above the Frank? Great moments in Keith David history.
That's our side podcast.
Yeah. It's two episodes long. That and Requiem for a Dream.
And Men at Work.
Oh yeah.
Who's he in Men at Work? Is he he's not the bad guy.
No, he's like the crazy veteran with them. That might be a stay tuned as well.
Yeah. He's like he's their new boss.
He's like
or
a
something.
Supervisor or something. And he's just like
the garbage man.
He keeps on getting like flashbacks to Nam, of course, and he's like, that pizza boy gets no food because he might be a communist.
Oh, yeah. Then they put him in a like, rice patty hat. It's like, oh, no.
Yeah, there's a lot of...
I remember that hat.
There's a lot of interesting stuff going on in that film.
there's at some point, I don't remember when it is that they steal a car and run over Dolph Lundgren, but that does happen.
Yeah, and when they're on their way to What's-His-Face's house, they're on the way to Jones's house, the Dolphin's pen, on the way to SeaWorld.
Welcome to the Dolphin's house.
And it's weird because, like, Dolph Lundgren is just like, he knows he's a bounty hunter and he knows he's got to get the drop on them, and he's like, freeze my children! And they're like, obviously we're just going to run over you, dude. Like... clearly we have the drop on you.
But he's like mostly a robot, so he like Michael Myers himself, like, yeah, gets back up
and again,
fine.
Like, I want more, like, there needs to be more of, like, just solidify your plot. Let's get one villain going. Let's follow Dolph Lundgren doing shit, man.
Exactly.
Because on the poster, it's Keanu Reeves Dolph Lundgren, by the way. That's,
yeah.
Well, you know, that could always just be 57 Ronin. Just do that. Street preacher.
I mean, Dolph Lundgren counts as 10 Ronin, FYI.
Oh, yeah, totally.
At least 10 Ronin.
He's 100% taller than every Ronin.
With the strength of 10 Ronin.
So he tries to, like, mind meld with this dolphin, and the dolphin can't even really crack it.
Yeah, he's just like, I need more information, dude.
And this is a dolphin, which are the smartest of the sea. So that's crazy.
So you're really up Schitt's Creek if, yeah, a dolphin can't crack your code.
And then, of course, they go under fire by all of the converging factions.
Yeah, it's like the end of the, right, Blues Brothers. Like, everyone that they've pissed off throughout, right, the entire movie, like, shows up.
The Illinois Nazis are in there.
Oh, so, yeah, it's just like a big old fight. It's actually a pretty good, like, action scene. Because they're on this, like, very weird, like, underside of a bridge, there's a lot of people getting thrown into the river, which, yeah, is cool.
Right, and the Illinois Nazis drive their station wagon off the bridge, and then they're suddenly like a 1,000 feet above Newark, and yeah, no, it doesn't end well for them.
I've always loved you. So at this point, like, the head of the Yakuza, like, gets Keanu Reeves. They're both, like, kind of hanging off, and he gets out, like, his razor wire, which is awesome. And Keanu Reeves, like, does some fancy Keanu Reevesing, and this dude gets his head cut off and falls into the river.
Yeah, that's a pretty good death for him. I mean, we all, yeah, saw it coming. Like, once you've got a cool laser wire whip, it's definitely getting used against you to kill,
yeah, him. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
100 times out of 100. If you're the bad guy, 100 times out of 100.
They could have actually... Because, like, Speed is the year before this.
Uh-huh.
Like, they could have reprised the I'm Taller. Because it's, again, Keanu Reeves decapitating the villain of the movie.
I'm going to choke my money out of you. It's like Dennis Hopper in that movie.
Man, I'll tell you what. The first time I saw Speed, I was devastated when Jeff Daniels gets killed.
Oh, man.
Like, when the tripwire goes off and Jeff Daniels just looks at it, and I was like, no!
Well, he does this, like, why me? Look at the camera. Like, I never get... I mean, I know, like, obviously you know you're fucked, you're a bomb guy, but I'd be like, oh, shit! And, like, and try and grab everybody I can and die with as little dignity as possible.
Like, jump out of a window, absolutely, do something.
It's push just... over old ladies, anything.
Oh. No, I would, you know, straighten up, you know, die with good posture.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I would do.
Oh, man. Also, before...
Speaking of dignity getting lost for Jeff Daniels, Dumb and Dumber 2 comes out this month.
Oh, yeah. God, dignity just right out the window. I could not care less about seeing that movie.
Oh, well, you know, I thought he lost the dignity when he did the newsroom.
That has to be, like, one of the most, like, split down the... There's either people that love that show or just hate the shit out of it. I've never seen a second of it, so I can't weigh in.
Yeah, I watched, like, half of season one and abort.
Also, before the Yakuza dude gets hilariously decapitated, he shoots the shit out of Beat Takeshi.
Yeah.
So that happens, which is why we then get the scene of, like, Beat Takeshi, like... sort of redeems himself. Yes. You know, he gives Keanu Reeves
the other two pictures.
It's a baggie with, like, the other picture in it.
Yeah.
Because remember, it's not the other two pictures, Steve. Because remember, the third picture is locked in Keanu Reeves' head. So it's like you have to hack a thing to hack yourself so that you can get the part you need to hack the bigger thing. Oh, mercy.
By way of a dolphin.
So Beat Takeshi gives him the two pictures, and the dolphin's like, all right, now we have to mind meld again, and we're going to hack the net.
Well, no, and before that, of course, Dolph Lundgren has to try and crucify Dina Mayer, Starship Troopers Dina Mayer. And, you know, he gets a nail in there. And, you know, the thing is, she's such a badass, quote-unquote, and she, like, the whole movie kind of builds her as a badass. She's got no badass moments.
Does,
you know what I mean?
Nothing even remotely close to badass.
If she just like breaks Dolph Lundgren's neck or like just beats him like in a bare knuckle fight, that'd be pretty fucking cool.
That
yeah.
would be cool. And yeah. now, shouldn't he be dressed as a Roman centurion instead of Jesus?
Yes. If he is indeed the one doing the crucifying, yeah. you mean? Good point. Yeah, no, he looks like a bad Jesus Halloween costume.
She gets away from him and then like somehow you, the dolphin gets the credited kill, by the way. You know, at best, she
You're
gets
totally
the assist.
Right.
She gets the assist.
There's like this sonic wave device.
Oh, my God. What the fuck was that?
It's like I think it's a magnet because what happens is they turn it on Dolph and like all of the implants and everything start getting like pulled out of him. And he's like, nah, 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 and this thing's like, you know, pulling all this stuff out of him. And then somehow he gets pushed into some wiring and just sets on fire.
Sure.
It's amazing.
It's
like
crazy.
He's on fire in a crucifixion position, of course.
It was up like a Roman candle.
And speaking of Roman candles, there's like fireworks shooting out of him. Like all this stuff is happening until he's just like a burnt husk.
And then he just like falls Christopher Walken at the end of Batman Returns. Spoiler alert for Batman Returns, I apologize.
Without all
Mayor
the
Max Schreck.
Without all the sexy making out with Catwoman, though.
Yeah, that's true.
That was a weird thing. I remember seeing that movie like as a kid and I understood.
Kind of made you feel weird, didn't it?
Well, I understood, right? Like, okay, like yeah, so, she's gonna kiss him, but like you get like the zapper in the mouth, like that's horrible. The taser, right? And I was like, still get to kiss Michelle Pfeiffer as Catwoman. That ain't half bad.
Tell Spider more of what you think of this.
Spider, welcome to the show. I'm Chris Hansen. Just have a seat over here.
I see you brought wine coolers.
And gummy bears.
And always condoms, FYI. Because that's how you get those perverts. Like, and bring you can never explain a box of condoms away. There's no other reason to, like, wine coolers, maybe I just wanted to have them for myself. I'm going to a party later.
Exactly. Gummy bears, they're a delicious fat-free snack for everybody. Oh, also, when Dolph Lundgren, like, blows into the space, he definitely says, it's Jesus time. Like, it's Jesus time, and then a come to Jesus.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think this is a role that Dolph Lundgren could, I mean, kind of does, but could really knock out of the park if you just give him anything to do.
He's got like 6 minutes of screen time.
Yeah.
He's like my favorite part of the movie.
Absolutely.
He's hands down the best part of this movie. Like, it's such an insane character and such a like wholly offensive thing, too.
Yeah.
Like, I can see people being like, are you kidding me?
Well, here's the thing. It's also the one thing that they don't take really seriously. They have fun with it, but everything else about putting megabytes in your brains and shit.
Yeah. All super serious.
Yeah, it's like tense and mafias around and stuff. It's like a, you know, but Jesus shows up and it's fun and games. Give me the fun and games.
So the dolphin helps execute Dolph Lundgren. He's a burnt husk on the floor. So now we're going to hack in. So the dolphin and Keanu Reeves like go into this world. He becomes the Slender Man again in this animated world.
Yep.
And it's so stupid because he's like, once the machine knows that we're in there, it's going to send out a virus. So like they're in this dumb cartoon and it's
First of all your human antagonists are dead. Movie over. Just shut
Seriously.
Up.
Like now you're telling me it's all these like fail safes that they've put in for like automatic responses and whatever. So this thing's like launching the virus. And then it's like Star Wars lasers just like going at him. And he's, it's so dumb. Like he does a thing where he makes two versions of himself.
Yeah.
And you have to have Ice-T on the outside like explaining what's happening. Because the double like starts getting shot with all the lasers. And Jane's like, holy shit, like Johnny's dead. And he's like, no, that's just the double. See, he doubled himself for safety. It makes sense when you're doing VR battle. And she's like,
it's been a long December.
I'll sit here with the Mr. Jones himself.
Oh my God, Mr. Jones.
Oh,
it was about
a
fucking
dolphin
the whole time.
Oh, Mr. Jones and me going swimming in the water park.
So they get the goddamn thing out of his mind. They find out it's the cure for Nas.
Well, the third thing, though, is a picture of the lady.
Yes, it was a picture of the ghost the whole time.
Yeah. It was the ghost the whole time.
Well, ghost photography is hard to get.
When Ice-T gets the gets his webcam back on. He's like, "Oh, everybody, set your VCRs. I'm about to fucking, I'm about to send out the cure for Nas."
This is amazing because, like, it's this super time sensitive thing, and he does this big hype man intro for it. He's like, "All right, planet Earth, everybody get ready for this. Set your VCRs to stun, because here comes the cure for Nas, bringing it to you live, streaming straight from heaven." And I'm like, just shut up and spread this cure, please. Because who knows what's going to happen?
Exactly. The corporations are after you, and they rule the world.
Yeah. So after this big hype man scene, they press play on the VCR, and this thing goes off. And it spreads around, like, here's all the information.
Also stuff no one watching would ever understand.
No, it's like graphs and bars. It's not like step one, drink this potion. Step two, be cured. It's like
step two, not have this disease anymore.
That's what I can follow. It's like, oh, all I need is a centrifuge and a bunch of math. And
we get like this montage of all these people watching on all these TVs. There's people like crying, like everybody's excited, you know, that we're cured. It's kind of interesting though, because this is totally like a WikiLeaks Edward Snowden type thing. Right. Like, talk about predicting it, man.
They predicted everything.
Do you think Ed Snowden's like a big fan of Johnny Mnemonic?
Yeah,
like,
of course.
He was the original whistleblower.
It's probably why he got inspired to get into this whole, you know, running around the world with secret intel.
I'll tell you what's Snowden's sideburn situation looking like. That's how you tell.
Oh, yeah. I don't think it's that long. I think it's kind of a little
high and tight. Yeah.
By the way, Citizen 4, best documentary of the year. Speaking of Ed Snowden.
Really?
Yeah. Check that out. Great movie.
Better than that Benedict Cumberbatch movie nobody wanted to watch?
It's a good movie. It's totally fine.
The Fifth Estate?
Oh, you mean that one. Oh, yes. I thought you meant the Benedict Cumberbatch movie that's coming out, Imitation. Oh,
no, I meant, yeah.
Oh, Fifth Estate. Yeah, I didn't see that. That's supposed to be really shitty.
Yeah.
Julian Assange does make a cameo appearance in Citizen 4.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
Wow.
So anyway, yeah, the cure spread all over the place. And somehow, like, now that all those gigabytes are out of his brain hallways, something else about this machine, like, jostled back his memories. And
right, he's got his
childhood. My God, I remember my 7th birthday party. Awesome. Oh,
so, that's all I was missing.
So that's why I'm so fucked up that I want prostitutes all the time. Yeah.
Oh, I'm really empty inside. Bummer.
My dad really shouldn't have done that.
They got me the red tricycle when I wanted the blue one. What idiots. That's why my life is horrible.
And then my favorite part of the movie happens. We get a shot of Dolph Lundgren's charred husk of a corpse, and it starts to slowly get up.
Right. And we've been told, like, this dude's, like, more machine than man. Right.
And I was lied to by my good friend, and I was like, oh, shit, this is when he crucifies Ice-T. I swear to God, I was watching it last night in my house. I thought this skeleton was about to crucify Ice-T. And I was like, sign me up, 10-star movie. Oh,
can you imagine if that's how that movie actually ended?
But what's actually happening is, like, they're just, like, hauling him up with a bunch of chains. And Ice-T's like, man, get that garbage out of here.
Get that garbage.
And then they huck him off the bridge into a watery grave, much like Osama bin Laden.
Two of the world's greatest terrorists, Osama bin Laden and Dolph Lundgren's Jesus.
Street preacher.
Do you think his birth name is Billy Talon?
What?
The street preacher, Reverend Billy?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that guy's a great man.
No, that was a failed joke. Oh, okay. You're calling him street preacher.
Yeah.
Whatever. So yeah, and that's it. We're fight clubbing at the end because the Pharmacon building is in flames for some reason.
For some reason.
Don't really know how that happened, mm-hmm. But Ice-T's like, yeah, that's a big fuck you to say the revolution is on. And I was like, is it? Could have just been an office fire.
You know what? Thank God that you guys confirmed that for me, because I was like, I don't get. One of them will get it. They'll know why Pharmacon's office is exploding.
Well, because we're doing exposition in this movie well into the fourth act, so it's hard to keep everything in play.
So I guess just like people just had an uprising, a violent uprising against the corporations.
Yep. Yeah, why not? What the hell? That's most of this movie is. Yeah, why not?
It's a dolphin.
It's a dolphin. Literally, why not? It's a dolphin. What else could it be? See, no one has any better suggestions. A dolphin's just as good as anything else.
Yeah, I mean, maybe a dinosaur.
No.
Theodore Rex, maybe?
Yeah. Oh, talking T-Rex cop.
Right, like, you know, instead of like a Jurassic Park, Ice-T gets like dinosaur DNA and replicates it with like, he puts his scientist friend into it, Dr. Jones, and like splices it. And
dude, that's who you should have cast in Jurassic World, by the way, is Ice-T. Imagine Ice-T getting hunted by a raptor.
Oh, I thought you meant Sam Jackson comes back as a clone of himself. He's the only one to cut to make the system go back online.
But here's the thing, Andrew. Ice-T doesn't get hunted by raptors. Ice-T hunts raptors.
Yeah, you're totally right. So that brings to mind a great idea for a movie, Ice-T Raptor Hunter.
Well, I mean, Ice-T...
He could play Turok the Dinosaur Hunter.
To be fair, Ice-T has been hunted by Charles S. Dutton before. To be fair.
Surviving the Game. That's a definite stay tuned.
Oh, my God. I can't wait for that.
Would anybody recommend Johnny Mnemonic?
I would. It's a fun, weird watch. There are gleams of it knowing it's a B movie, sort of, but not really. Mm-hmm. I also will give Keanu Reeves all the credit in the world for having balls of steel and doing The Matrix after this. Like, this is a movie that nearly destroyed his career, and then like 3 years later, they're like, "Hey, here's a script that's almost that exact same script, but I guarantee you it's a huge movie." And he's like, "All right,
yeah." It's like, so it's a movie where my character gets data uploaded to his head. And it's a future where machines have sort of destroyed most of society. Okay, let's do it.
Well, and like you think about the flip side of that is Sean Connery, who was devastated by League of Extraordinary Gentlemen and famously was like, "Well, I'll never do any shit like that again." And then they gave him The Matrix, like, "Oh, it's like a cartoon show." And he said, "No." And it's like, well, that's just stupid. And, like, you know, Keanu, I think Keanu is actually, everyone likes to give him shit for being stupid, but I think, honestly, if you polled all of Hollywood, he'd have average intelligence you know what I mean?
Like, Keanu Reeves, I'm sure, is a great guy. I would love to hang out with Keanu Reeves, and I'll say it, I still haven't seen it yet. I'm dying to see that John Wick movie.
Me too.
Right. Dying to see that movie. Also, you've got that story backwards about Connery. He turned down The Matrix, and so he was like, "Well, I won't get fooled by that again. Oh, what's that? League of Extraordinary Gentlemen? Yes, I'll do it."
Oh, that's what it is.
Yeah, that's why he did that movie, because he turned down being Neo, and then that movie exploded.
What, dude,
not Neo? Not Neo, Morpheus.
Oh, Morpheus, excuse me.
I would have loved it if he
I
was
know
Neo.
Kung Fu.
Or I'm just did this office job.
He's got some pretty okay career instincts. And I think he's a really good screen presence. He makes this
Sean
movie
Connery?
This movie would be much worse without Keanu Reeves.
And oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Eric?
It's a timid recommend. It's interesting. It's a time capsule type of thing. And I think people should check it out. Yeah, why not? And I am also dying to see John Wick. And I like Keanu. Get over it. Get over it.
Get over it. Get over it. Yeah, I don't know. I guess I would recommend this movie. When we started the recommends, I was like, "You're not going to recommend this movie." But it's like, it's a harmless, like, 96 minutes.
Yep, exactly.
It's stupid. It's a time capsule thing for sure. The thing is, I just don't like watching, like, 90s cyber thrillers.
No.
I totally don't. No. Unless you're kind of, like, hate watching it. But I don't know. There's a dolphin that's super smart and Ice-T's in it. So
a dolph and a dolphin.
Yeah. Yeah, if anything, I would recommend this movie for Dolph's performance over the dolphin, who's also great.
I would say, cyberpunk is a genre that I have absolutely no time or patience for. Never have, never will.
Oh, really? You don't like Blade Runner?
I like Blade Runner.
Okay, then shut up.
He doesn't like Strange Days, though.
No, I'm not going to watch Strange Days.
I need to see it.
Or Existenz.
You know what else?
Existenz is not a good movie.
I don't like it either, and a lot of people do like it, so deal with it.
That's Johnny Mnemonic from 1995, directed by Robert Longo. Thank you again for Alec and several other people, honestly, who called in for this
movie.
Yeah,
it was a big recommend from our listeners this time around.
So there you go. Clue for next week's episode.
One letter.
Q. Q. The hint for next week's episode is Q. If you want more information about We Hate Movies, go to our website, whmpodcast.com. Rate and review on iTunes, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Twitter. We're at WHM Podcast. Until next week, with Q, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Eric Siska.
Steven Seda.
Take it easy.